welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the worlds of innovation, business, design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlan Esau. Today, we're joined by new label mate, Renata Duarte, founder and MD of Label Sessions, Nick Sherrod, and our resident content king, Josh Nixon. So let's jump right in with a little bit of a welcome to Renata. Renata is a seasoned human-centered design strategist who transforms deep cultural insight into brand, product, and innovation strategies that resonate globally. With a career spanning Sao Paulo, Palo Alto, and Lisbon, she's worked across the marketing strategy and design for clients including Nike, Diageo, Meta, Humana, and more. Renata, welcome to Label Sessions Presents.
Thank you so much. Very happy to be here.
More and more brands are putting their faith in influencers, and it's not brands that you would normally think of. So Unilever is in the midst of recruiting an influencer army. Virgin Money is launching its own influencer program. More and more brands are sort of putting their faith in creators outside of themselves to build their brand connection, their credibility, and push that conversion. Is this actually a smart strategy, or is it sort of the sign that brands are running out of ideas and reverting to influencers?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is also a twofold answer. I think one thing. On one hand, it's like a bit of monkey see, monkey do. Okay, now everybody has to have an influencer because that's the way to go. And okay, like, but I think it's, if you think about humans again, is all about authenticity. So what are people connecting to are not brands, but are, you know, values, are so many other things that, you know, are much easier to identify and recognize in a person, in a, than on a brand. And a lot of brands are doing this when they go the monkey see, monkey do way. What they forget is that people understand and know that this brand has never had nothing to do with, you know, A, B, or C. And now it's saying, oh, we are all for this, la, 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 la. And just because they did a market campaign doesn't mean people, you know, people are not dumb. They know. Okay, you're trying to tell me this, but in reality, and if you are far enough from, you know, what the brand really is and mean to what they say and do, people won't buy it. They just understand directly. And so I think it's a good strategy, but more than it's not just about influencers. I think more than that, it's about really knowing what your brand is about, really knowing what you stand for, and then going for it, no matter how, in your marketing campaign, in your influencer strategy, and everything else. A lot of times they don't know. You know, back in the days, I remember when I was, like I would say 2008, before 2010, that brands in Brazil, like for instance, Nike, they had a whole strategy to, Brazil was like front and center because of the Olympic Games, or the World Cup was coming and everything. So they had a full strategy focused in Brazil. Mm. And they really went to understand the, like they had a strategy back then called Sponge, that the executives came and had, you know, like every one of them had a van, photo cameras, everything they could to go and like sponge this culture, to understand what people are about. What is that Jenga? What is that this thing that Brazilians have that, you know, inspires the world? And really like getting to going very, very, very granular on it to get inspired and to, I mean, I think when a brand knows who they are, they can do whatever they want and it's going to be fun and authentic and people are going to engage. But a lot of times other companies came to us when we were at the same time when we were working at with Nike, and they said, okay, we also want a brand experience show. And I'm like, okay, so what's your brand all about? What do you want people to experience? And they're like, you know? because it's only a brand experience if you are making people experience what you are all about. So, and not be, and don't be afraid. I think another thing I learned working at IDEO a lot about, like, the thing they say, fail fast, learn fast, but it's not about celebrating the fail, because nobody likes to fail, but it's about this kind of beta mode. It's about this idea of, you know, if you try and you are honestly being authentic to your values and to your core, even if it fails, the people will understand. You know, I think when a brand fails, it's the biggest opportunity they have to conquer clients. You know, if you are receiving a bad service in a restaurant that you like, you have two choices. You can say, you know, I'll never come back here again. Or you can say, you know, today the fish was cold, but, you know, I love coming here. So the way they react to this is gonna define the continuation of the relationship. Like if they say, oh, Renata, I'm so sorry, I see. Oh, you want another one? I said, no, it's not necessary. Okay, but you know, the way they treat you. And I think this applies to like very small things, but also to very big things.
Sure.
There's a sort of provocation in there as well, I think, which is, you know, so I guess the two things that are really attention. So you can really see that the sort of trend around influencer marketing now in every sector.
Yeah.
It performs.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the tension of my mind is that, like, for in terms of, you know, an interesting point for brand strategy, core brand strategy, is that for a while now, everyone's been saying, look, it's the easiest time, the lowest barrier to entry, everyone can build a brand now.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, whenever we ask people or we talk to people about the brands that people care most about or the great brands in the world, is they're very heavily brands that were built before digital, right? It's still Nike. We're still talking about Nike and Adidas and Disney. Lululemon towards the end of that time. Yes. Warner Brothers. So these are the companies, the brands that people get excited about still. So there's a really interesting thing as to, I guess, why are there not more really loved brands that came through the digital era? And I wonder if it's almost like the temptation of being able to build this sort of operation, build a marketing operation, build performance, is great. It requires huge sums of money behind it, which is why some of these businesses struggle over time, mm-hmm. to sustain it over time. Mm-hmm. But there's almost like those kind of really distinctive kind of takes on the world that brands had for a period. I don't know if it's harder for brands to do it now, or if they just don't have it in our muscle memory now. There's just something really interesting, which is like, we've all had the tools so we can all build new brands and stuff. But we've still got these old ones that are still just, you know, like somehow beating the new ones. Like, what's, how do we make sense?
But I think it's also because it's so, how can I say this? Like, for instance, besides the Super Bowl, like if Nike would publish an ad back in the days, you know, almost everybody would see it, and they would, like, you just have to have three flights and boom, you have already 80% of coverage. And nowadays it's very pulverized, and people have interests and they have niche. So, but sometimes I think it's like when you can, you know, give a bazooka shoot, or you can give a little thing, like, you know, but sometimes if you give the right, if you hit the right ball, like, it can be much more powerful. If I see, for instance, someone I admire talking about whatever, it's going to be, to me already, much higher the chance that I want to connect to that, if I watch on TV, you know, open TV, I don't even turn it on anymore. Mm-hmm. So it would never reach me, never. Yeah. Even if it's like $1 million, €1 million campaign, I would never get to see it, you know?
Yeah.
I think too, that's interesting. Oh, sorry, what you're saying?
No, go ahead.
I was just thinking to your point, Nick, about the idea that brands haven't really broken through in recent, I mean, it depends on what you really consider a brand, because like we've talked about shared experiences and talked about the Minecraft movie specifically. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these things about shared experiences and how influencers come into play is these parasocial relationships. And that's why I consider some of the Minecraft as an interesting brand, where, you know, people come through And that's exploded so much because people watch it, watch the favorite YouTuber play it. And yeah. that's how these little kids get into the idea that Minecraft is the next big thing because they want to do what these people are doing in that sort of mm-hmm. one-sided parasocial relationship.
Yeah, which is interesting, actually, because gaming is one of the areas where there have been big brands that people mm-hmm. care about that have come mm-hmm. through.
Oh,
yeah. But it's also one of those areas where, actually, I guess they've kind of done old-fashioned brand building, right? Minecraft yeah. has this incredibly specific take on the world that they've stayed pretty consistent to. But yeah, so it's kind of there are some that have come through. It's just not in the typical areas. And yeah. I guess one of the things that would be really interesting is how come everyone's going to a Minecraft movie and they've kind of built that level of engagement around that brand, but many of the new fashion brands, for instance, that came through in the last 10-15 years, D2C, are nowhere close to that level of engagement. No, it's interesting. So in terms yeah. of, it's not through a lack of investment, right? So those companies have spent a hell of a lot on marketing, but they're not in a place where you could extend the brand into a movie in the first place, and secondly, mm-hmm. when people are going to be dressing up, weirdly, mm-hmm. the actually you get more people dressing up for a gaming movie than you do for anything related to a fashion brand.
Yeah, you have yeah. this fandom in gaming is like a crazy, crazy, completely crazy thing, and it's about like when you are like cheering for a football, soccer yeah. team, it's almost like it carries a lot of their identities, and even if they do some moves or some screaming, something that we don't understand, it even nicer because it's that the slang and the lingo of a certain tribe, a certain way of being in the known. I find yeah. it very interesting too. I was looking here, actually the LinkedIn, I was curious, and I was sure it was more, but I wasn't sure how much. And LinkedIn personal profiles generally outperform company pages, driving 5 times more engagement and 2.75 times more impressions. Yeah. So, like, yeah, you have your who do you search for? The company or the executive that's interesting, that, you know, had this idea and this way of thinking? So mm-hmm. I think it's also like you can, it's easy to understand why, because if you think of ourselves, who do you want to understand about, you know, the ideas of that guy or that lady that are so fascinating? Or when you go to the company, LinkedIn is like corporate mumbo jumbo most of the times. Mm. So, you know, no, the people are interested. They're talking about their, yeah. their different aspects and, I think that's just logical, but not as a must-do strategy. I think that's a big, you know, like, but it's not just because everybody's there that you have to be there too. It's just think about your brand and understand where and how and with whom, you know, you want and you can connect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think
yeah.
there's also this inherent risk with relying on influencers, because arguably Ryan Reynolds is kind of the king of B2B influencing. And that's how he's built all of his companies, through his influence. But now he's embroiled in a scandal. And what does that mean for all of the brands that live off the back of Ryan Reynolds' good guy appeal?
Totally, totally.
So there's that sort of...
Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly, Tesla.
Come on, it's like, whee!
yeah. But that's kind of the inherently, it's going to be the thing if you use real people. That's the thing of real influencers, if you like, which is, it's very hard to have someone who's going to be commanding a huge public audience and it doesn't at some point in their lifetime express something which upsets somebody. That's the reality of it. And that's the thing for brands. You've got to kind of take that on the chin if you're going to go down that strategy, I think.
Yeah.
Slightly different if you're doing it in a very controlled way. I think the Virgin Money example was kind of, you're kind of being very disciplined around how and what it is each influencer is saying. But if you're in the kind of Unilever space where you're saying this is kind of the core to our go-to-market strategy over the coming years, then you kind of have to get comfortable with the fact that, you know, at least somebody in that army of influencers is going to say something that's not, you know, not on brand, I guess, in the classic sense.